Namngiyakhona, the podcast inspiring entrepreneurs in South Africa. Because if it's going to be, it's up to me.
Nazo, nazo, ladies and gents, we're back again to Namngiyakhona podcast, where we know that if something is going to be, it is up to me. And I'm very excited to have the guest that we have for you today, once again, here to inspire us to think entrepreneurially. And she is definitely an inspiring entrepreneur. We'll get into that in a second. But I do want to remind you, as always, before we start, that you might be inspired today. You might feel to share this with a friend, or you might have a question for our guest. Drop it in the comments below. Always keen to hear what's on your mind and if this has changed the way that you're thinking. But before we do go any further, I don't want to waste more time than getting and chatting to our guest that we have. Thanks so much for joining again. From me, your host, Buntu Machaja, I do want to welcome you again to Namngiyakhona, and welcome as well our guest, Lethabo Motsoaledi. Welcome, Lethabo. Thanks so much for coming in to chat with us today.
Thanks for having me, Buntu.
Such a pleasure, really. I mean, as an entrepreneur who you've been an entrepreneur, many of times, and now in your latest life of entrepreneurship, being the co-founder and CTO of Voice AI, but which is a company, you know, that's also been recognized by Google Launchpad Africa, as well as Techstars, as one of the few African companies that have been recognized by Techstars. But right now you are a Dutch-based company as well as a South Africa-based company, which is, you know, in a globalized and remote working world, the future, as you are also working in a future innovative industry. And yourself as well, you've been recognized by the prestigious Mandela Rhodes Foundation as part through that scholar program, as well as other brands like Old Mutual and Co-Create SA. It's been a journey. I don't want to go too far into that, other than to start by, tell us a little bit about the company and why are you doing the work that you do, and what was the problem that you sought to solve when starting this that you are you're working on?
Yeah, so hello to the entire audience. I think it's worth noting that we didn't start, myself and my co-founder, we didn't start Voice. It's not our first rodeo. We are three companies in. A few other startups that we had were relative successes, depending on how you look at it, glass half full. Them not existing anymore is because they had to shut down or close. But we learned everything that we learned from there. But at Voice, we provide AI software to monitor contact center conversations for banks and insurers in order to monitor their quality assurance and also improve their agent performance. And how we do this is we are able to monitor 100% of their calls with them requiring 80% less staff. And obviously, that's only possible because we're using AI to give people superpowers to go through, you know, data that otherwise wouldn't have been possible. Now, not originally from the insurance space, but we're playing heavily in the banking and insurance space providing the software. But how we came about, starting Voice is, I will say, honestly, trial and error. So myself and my co-founder met in our final years of varsity. I was doing my BSc in engineering. He was doing his master's. And we met around and we aligned around one conversation. And that's the fact that, funny, we place it. We say we are serial complainers. The conversation was, he told me that he had a screwdriver. He found a screwdriver in his cereal. And he was so unhappy that he bought the cereal from Checkers. And the he emailed the CEO of Checkers at the time, or the chairman, which is Y.T. Basson, and he's like, I found a screwdriver in my cereal. This is not okay. And instead of receiving like crates of cereal, they just, you know, sent him one box and were like, sorry about that. And then in my scenario, I think it was Woolworths, they upped the price of gluten-free products. And I was so unhappy. I sent a full email to be like, listen, this is a special dietary product. You can't just say sorry for lifting the price. Like, you have to have a reason. You have to be accountable to us, the consumer. And they had to send this long email to reply. And we just realized that, one, it's not normal for people to complain the way that we did and feel so strongly that the companies have to be accountable to anything that they do. And so we were aligned around the fact that we honestly believe that companies have to treat customers fairly and consumers have the right to have their voices heard. And so we were like, we will do whatever we can to make sure that we don't contribute to a system where, you know, people are okay with bad customer service and customers don't feel like their voices are heard. And yeah, we'll do something about it. But that was not voice. There was a series of other projects that we started and failed and started and failed. And eventually we built a system that turned into what is voice today. And we found that the most critical industry that we add value to is the insurance industry because of, you know, financial services issues where companies need to treat customers fairly. Customers need to know what they're buying. There's no better area where software that can monitor the client experience is like really, really important. It's a long and convoluted story of how we started, but here we are today.
Love it very much. Of course, the pun as well around being serial complainers, or you are seriously always complaining and, yeah, and hence trying to find solutions. You know, you encountered this problem. Were there other problems that you try to solve or you still want to solve and that you feel strongly about? And where did that come from, this innate desire to become an entrepreneur, or at least to want to solve the problems and then believe that you can be the one to solve them?
It's a very good question. A very good point, because I think it stems from my childhood and how I grew up. So I appreciate this podcast, or this, I appreciate the series that we're doing, because I never grew up in an environment where there were a lot of examples of entrepreneurship. So I never had the vocabulary. I never had the words. I never even knew quite what it was. I just knew that I wanted to be a problem solver. And even back then, when I understood what I wanted to be, I didn't have the words to say. I didn't want to, because you can't say to, you know, your parents, hey, mom, dad, when I grow up, I want to be a problem solver. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you then say doctor, lawyer, teacher, this, like, there was no words for it. And there's no words for entrepreneurship until today. So I appreciate the conversations are like becoming more and more normalized. So what happened is most of my family members are doctors. And what I identified from observing them was just, I had an issue because that was the career path set in front of me. Like, you need to be a doctor, basically. And I'm like, it doesn't make sense. Like, the amount of hours you're putting in on a daily basis doesn't equate to the return of impact. So if you only have 8 hours in a day, and let's say it takes you an hour to help a person, you can only help 8 people in a day. Like, that is a lot of effort, but it just, you can't scale that. Like, you can't scale your time. So I kept thinking of ways in which, like, how would you as one person be able to make like impact that replicates itself beyond the hours in a day that you have? And that's typically, you know, businesses. If you build something, you create something, you only have to like labor through it once, and then it can be replicated across, you know. So all of a sudden, if you are using technology or some sort of application, instead of helping one person an hour, you can be helping 100 people an hour, and you still only have 8 days and 8 hours in a day. So that's how I kept seeing the world. And unfortunately or fortunately, I think when I was 16, I read Richard Branson's book. I think it's called Screw It, Let's Do It. So that's the book. I read that one and I loved everything that happened in this book. In fact, I don't even remember all the businesses he actually started. What impacted me was he saw a problem and he wanted to solve it. And he's like, I'm going to start something that solves that problem. And as soon as he solved it, he moved on. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. I mean, like, you don't have to work in that industry forever. You kind of just see a problem, solve it, move on. And still, I didn't have the words to articulate what it was, except I want to be like Richard Branson. And because there's no one around me that is like him. There's no one around in at least in back then that I could see examples that, like, yeah, like Richard Branson's, he just builds businesses and he moves on and that kind of thing. And so one of the best pivotal turning points in my life was joining the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation. I applied for that scholarship while I was in matric, and I finally had an environment where I was reminded of the values. I was actually in like the value of entrepreneurship, what it is, what it means to have a, you know, problem-solving mindset, where it applies, whether you need to go a formal career or not. All of those things were consolidated to, even though I was studying engineering, it validated that, you know what, the first problem you come across, you can start a business and you can solve it. And if it doesn't work, you can iterate and try something else and you can iterate and try something else. And having that mindset meant that, yeah, I think in varsity, I started two companies. They never went too far. But post-varsity, there were like three, Voice being the third one, but together with my co-founder. So it was always a try something. If it fails, move on and try something else. It's not a failure. It's you learned what didn't work. And then you take that learning into your next enterprise or into your next problem. So, yeah.
You're saying entrepreneurship for you is really about impact, really what you're trying to do is solve and serve as many people as possible. And business is one of the best tools that you see for doing that. And that's what's driving you as an entrepreneur. What was it that gave you so much confidence and conviction in entrepreneurship? And what was the internal motivator for you? Because you mentioned impact. Why is it important to have impact? You know, why is that a driving point for your businesses and your problem solving? So much so that even in high school, you were confident about it.
Yeah. So I think the real, like, I have to deeply reflect all the time, like, why pick this? Because within any business, even when it works, it's really hard. It's always very hard because there isn't a set path to success. There isn't a, oh, once you finish here, here's the next step and here's your promotion and here's this. So you're always constantly fighting against the grain and working to chart your own thing. So you really have to intrinsically really, really want this, because you really become, once you go the entrepreneurial route, you become the master of your own destiny. There's no set course of progression and all of that. So it has to be a deep conviction to what you want and then to what you really feel is the right thing to do inside. Then the impact is, I've always believed that, as from a very young age, and I guess I'll share it to the stories. Every time I went to go visit my grandmother, whom I miss very much, actually, I'm going to visit her, I can't wait. She lives in a rural area, not too far from where I grew up in Polokwane. I had friends there who I loved spending time with, and I obviously only got to see them during the holidays. But I just could not understand, what upset me was, even at a young age, from around, I remember having these thoughts at around 12, 13. I knew that my trajectory in life is going to be vastly different to my friends in my grandmother's area because of the difference in the lives and that we have. Not because I am smarter, not because I am better in any way. In fact, we are exactly the same. But I grew up in a city where there's more opportunities. My family might be a little bit more financially proficient than them, and our trajectories are going to be essentially very different. Our paths to success are going to be different. And I didn't find that, I found that a very difficult one thing to accept. But I also then thought to myself, if I ever become successful, whatever the definition of success is, it would not be success if the people around me also don't benefit from whatever success looks like. If my friends don't get lifted up with me as I get lifted up, then I don't believe that I was successful. And that's, I think, where the deep drive for impact came from, because everyone around me is, you know, a part of me, they impact, they're a part of the process. So whatever I do, success is defined by how much I'm impacting them. If their lives are made 100% better, then that is the definition of success. And that's where the impact comes from. Like, I wasn't creating businesses to, you know, for the sake of, or for the finances or for the money. That's obviously the other side of the equation. But the reason is because I see a problem that impacts people around me that I want to solve. And success is them having that problem solved. That is my definition of success, which is actually an impact. Like, I'm actually having an impact on the people I see because I saw the problem that they had and I felt like I had a good skill set to be able to solve it. And so I solve it and I then impact them, and not just them, but anyone else who's in their shoes and has the same type of, you know, context or issue. So that's essentially how I looked at it.
Powerful, Thabo. Thanks so much. Love the points there around. Firstly, shout out to Gogo for inspiring us all the time and raising many of us. But also how, you know, for you, you are inspired by inequality, and how, you know, impact for you is and success for you is actually defined on others as well succeeding and other people's problems being solved, and that then translate to you in a way that you can do it at scale, or, you know, solving as many people's problems at the same time through entrepreneurship and being entrepreneurial. I want to unpack a little bit what skill sets you think are very key for entrepreneurially minded people and people that want to have impact in whatever space they are in. You also mentioned that through the program, you were instilled with problem solving skills. And I think also part of the accelerators and the various programs that your business has been through and you are working with your team, there are certain skills that you've seen for you, you want to cultivate more of as they help in this journey of scaling the impact. What would be some of these characteristics, values, and skills that you think are important, especially these days?
That's a very good point. I think I would say the most important one across the whole board, I don't know what the right word for it is, but maybe I'll use a series of words. It's more valuing learning, I don't want to call it open mind, or just willingness to learn, because that's really all that it takes. The skill sets develop from that, because you'll never be perfectly suited to solve any problem. One, you'll always need help. There will always be someone who just knows better than you. And then if you're willing to learn, one, you're able to raise your hand and ask those individuals for help along the way. And your ability, once you ask for help and you get that help and you apply that help, you've now learned the skill. So you acquire the skills as you go along. You're never perfectly suited, I think, to solve any issue from the get-go. And if you are, then you started too late, because you know everything by now, and you started the whole process a little bit too late.
What would you be, you know, your thoughts in order to inspire someone who doesn't really believe that, you know, they can be entrepreneurial, they can solve this problem, and that if they see a problem, they should actually start by going into it, even if they're going to fail, and in that process, finally succeed. You know, what would you say to Letabo, she wanted to start voice AI today, for example, or something like that, and maybe that's not as convicted.
I think it's a very good point. I would say to 16, my 16-year-old self, the doubts that I had was not being like having this feeling of what I needed to be and not having the words or role models or examples around me to tell me that it's okay to have that feeling. It's okay to want to be that person, because I didn't have those examples around me. So I think I would have told 16-year-old me to keep searching for role models, keep your feelers out, look at different people who inspire you and look at what their journeys in life were and try as best as possible to replicate that. You will find in most cases, a lot of them did go to university. And that's because that they needed the skill sets to learn whatever it is that they knew they were passionate about. So I'm not ruling out university entirely, but I'm also looking at the individual that may not feel academically inclined. Even the people that, you know, might have not made it into university, it does not rule them out, their ability to learn. What you will find is there are ample examples of role models who were not able to make it into university, yet they found a way to learn. They found a way to overcome whatever learning hurdles they had, and they applied those, and they actually became something. And that's what's very, very important. I think one of the biggest things, if we're still talking about 16-year-old Letabo, the impact of Richard Branson reading that book, then one was learning, finding that example and learning by reading that book. And the second impact was, one thing that a lot of people don't know is Richard Branson is dyslexic. So technically, he went through his entire schooling career being told that he's not smart enough. He's not, and that really can impact someone's decision was, am I going to go to university or not? If even your teachers are telling you that you're not smart enough. And so that's going to be where the personal drive comes from to say, I will prove you wrong and I will carry on learning. I may not be learning as fast as everyone else's. My marks may not be as exciting and really high as everyone else's, but I am human and humans all have the ability to learn. And I may be doing it a little bit slower than everyone else, but I am capable. And that drive will keep you going to just completely do whatever it is that you need to do. And secondly, don't get discouraged. And I think this is one of the biggest challenges that we have today is majority of the careers that exist today did not exist 10 years ago. So the fact that you can't see what you want to do should not stop you from pursuing that passion anyway. The fact that there is no title, I mean, the one that we joke about a lot is, you know, social media manager. Like 10 years ago, there was no such thing. Yet if you were interested in that, you know, in that title, if you said, because if you were interested in media, in a sense, 10 years ago, and you wanted to go into that industry, you wouldn't have had the words to say that I'm going to be a social media manager. I'm going to work in that industry. I'm going to make, you know, content and I'm going to share it online or whatever. But you would have been passionate about it. And so my advice would be to just follow that passion anyway. It will lead you to success. It will lead you to find something. And a couple of years later, if there is no title for it, you have all the rights to create that title yourself. Whatever you want to be, you can create it and it will exist by virtue of you existing and doing it.
Love it, because we are all the CEOs of our career. You heard it here first, Gebafethu Wuthi. If you want to pursue something that you believe in and you don't know what that is, it doesn't exist in the university application form. It doesn't mean that it won't be there 10 years from now and you can't be the one of the successful people in it. So thanks so much, Letabo, for inspiring us on your journey, sharing your words of wisdom and how you think through problem solving and impact.
Thanks so much for having me, Buntu. This was really impactful and I hope as much as I learned from my other entrepreneurs myself, I'm hoping I could have also shared a bit of my insights and what I've learned with everyone else.
I'm certain and I'm sure, Guti, we took a lot of notes, and we're going to be CEOs of our own careers as well. So, Bafetu, stay tuned, stay connected, and stay inspired, ku nam ngiyakhona, because all we're trying to do here is to remind ourselves that all of us can. And if it is going to be, it is up to me. Thank you so much. See you next time. From me, your host, Buntu, thank you. Stay inspired and be entrepreneurial. Follow us on social media and find us on WhatsApp. Nam ngiyakhona.